We're going to be speaking about networking and referrals in session 6. And this is basically to help you that you've got resources at your disposal. You know who to contact, perhaps in the event of a situation being above your head, or you realize that you need to refer the person. So some of these things are just practical tips. I can't give you all the answers because I don't know the communities that you necessarily come from, but I can help you look at how do you gather together a network and referral system. And it often feels, one feels so much safer in working with somebody if you know that you know where you can refer them if things get difficult, or you can just give them information or a telephone number, which would really help them. So building a successful network is so important, not only for yourself, but obviously for the person with whom you're working. And before you embark on the journey, you know, one needs to be aware of the resources available in your community. So often your pastor or your cell leader, your small group leader, your district leader, they might have an idea of resources available, so speak to them. But it also helps to just Google a little bit and be aware of what is the community make available. Where are there kind of centers already in place or resources that you can access or help the person access that then would help them on their journey of healing. So what I've done is you'll see there's a form in the notes, and this will assist you in building your own resource network. And as with the first session where we looked at things from a personal point of view and then looking at it from somebody presenting to you, we're going to do the same again. So we're going to look at your own personal network and help you try and establish that, trying to think it through. And then at the end, the practical exercise, we're going to look at helping somebody who's come for help, helping them establish a network. So if I quickly go through the form with you, things that are very kind of logical in your church context, for instance, who's your small group leader? They're the person who are kind of your first line of call. They're the ones who you want to run to first. So name and telephone number, you've got it there. Who's your district leader? Who's the person in charge of personal encounter ministry at the church? So, you know, if someone's approached you in the coffee room at work, you might actually want to at a point connect them to the church, and perhaps they need to go through the process of personal encounter ministry in the church setup. So those are all resources that are there. They're readily available. Again, for your own life, who's your accountability partner? Who's the person speaking into your life? Who's the person that you're meeting with regularly so that you're making sure that you're growing on an emotional, spiritual, and physical level? Who are your medical doctors in your community? You know, who's your GP? Another area, you know, is specifically in terms of personal encounter ministry, looking at stuff like, do you know of a good psychiatrist, a good psychologist? So often as Christians as well, it's helpful if we know of people who can work from a biblical worldview. It's not essential, because if the person does know the Holy Spirit, then they can be discerning of what is truth and what is not. But it is helpful if the person can work not only from a psychological but from a biblical worldview. So if you happen to hear of somebody, write their name and number down, because you must always be building on your network. You always want to be increasing the resources that you have and being aware of who you can access when you need to. Other things that you can look at is what are the government facilities and resources? So is there a day clinic in your community? Is there a psychiatric sister there? What is their number? What is their name? Is there a private hospital? Similarly, you know, is there a government hospital? What is a casualty? So this sounds quite intense, but for instance, if you do have someone that you're walking a road with them and suddenly they actually do become more seriously depressed, or they do become suicidal, you know, you might need to then access these resources to help you deal with the situation. And it's so much easier if you know exactly where to go, and the numbers are already perhaps saved on your phone or in an address book somewhere. Another some resources that I know of in communities are things like Rape Crisis. It's an organization that specifically deals with victims of rape, provides free counseling. So it's a useful number to have. Know who the social work services are in your community. Also look at things like a physiotherapist or a biokineticist. So we've spoken about bodily issues and, you know, looking at things like nutrition and health, but it's helpful if you've actually got numbers so that if you or somebody wants professional advice in that area, you've got somebody whom you trust, you can refer that person to. A dietitian would be somebody else as well. And then there's things like, that are specific to this, the place where the person might be at. So for instance, a student, there's student health on campus, there's also student counseling. Those are readily accessible for free resources. And if you know the numbers and the contact people, it makes it so much easier to assist that person to access those resources. Other really good facilities are things like Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous. Sometimes as well, there's free counseling available at a person's place of work. So, I mean, the list is obviously endless. These are just a few ideas that I'm throwing around. But basically what I'm saying is quite often during or at the end of the process, you kind of feel the need perhaps to share other information or resources with the person, and then you feel bereft if you don't have those things in place. So what we're kind of saying is right now at the beginning of starting this journey, if you're already looking at kind of setting up a network, always adding to it, always being aware of what, you know, what you can, how you can investigate numbers and people and places, then the resource is there and at your disposal when you actually need it. So sometimes it's advisable to refer somebody for professional counseling or help. And there's various areas that I've highlighted which will help you know when is the right time to do this or not. And the first one would be if you do the self-assessment questionnaire with them and you see that they've ticked basically all of the boxes, most often then it's an indication that that person needs professional assistance. So I would generally say that your role might actually just be in helping them connect with the right person and almost being the bridge or the transition for them to that other process. If you see that after intervening for a few sessions or meeting on a few occasions that there isn't very much progress, then you might also look at referring the person and helping them set up an appointment with a professional. Or if you see that their emotional or soul functioning is actually deteriorating, never a great sign, but if that were to happen, sometimes it's because actually their need is on a deeper level, and then it's advisable to refer them. If you are becoming overwhelmed or anxious by the process, and you know, sometimes that's an indication that what the person is presenting with is actually too much, then it would be a great idea to refer them to somebody else. And lastly, if you realize that dependency relationship, as we've spoken about before, is being formed, then it's a good idea that you actually refer the person. So if we, just to sum it up, I think it's really important to be aware of the networks and the resources at your disposal and to use them, to not be frightened of them. But often that does then require you being prepared in advance and doing a bit of investigation. Sometimes helpful to even phone up the people, because when you are making a referral, it makes such a difference if you can vouch for and validate the counseling provided at a specific institution, or if you have a name or a contact with a person there. It means that the person who's come to you for help feels almost carried in a sense, that they're being carried from one person to another and not kind of abandoned or thrown away, discarded to be helped by somebody else. So, you know, if that were to happen, sometimes people feel guilty or they feel like they've let the person down. Really, do not take those feelings up, because most of the time, actually, you are really providing a loving and healing space just by being able to help them transfer to somebody who can who can maybe be of more assistance to them.